Hi, this is Susan Smith-Nash, and I thought I'd talk a little bit today about a course, Science and the Literary Imagination, and just kind of go over why I think it's such an interesting experience. And I've taught it a few times now, and I'd like to focus in on the part where we really get into robots and mechanical things. One of the first parts of the course involves itself in taking a look at how and why we're so fascinated by machines and humans, and particularly machine-human interaction. And it's interesting to see how that manifests itself in terms of machines, robots, in literature and film. One of the first places that mechanical beings were featured in literature were in the works of Leonardo da Vinci. He had like a little robot. And then there's also de Vaucanson's duck, and there's a little picture of it. It's a mechanical duck, and it was written about and featured in some scientific activities, and also in different journals and memoirs. But what's really fascinating is to see how Ovid's Metamorphoses, for example, in the 10th book, it was picked up later in Pygmalion, and how Pygmalion fell in love with his own creation. So this like serious thread of narcissism starts connecting in and bubbling in right away. There's Hoffman's The Sandman. Olympia is a mechanical doll that Nathaniel falls in love with. And then, of course, there's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Dr. Frankenstein has a rather vexed relationship with the creature. And we say, okay, what are those relationships? And a lot of them have to do with power and domination. But there are also other things that are going on about the nature of reality, the nature of what it means to be human, the idea of an ideal world, the idea of logic, taking out to an extreme. Logic is no longer balanced and normal, it becomes madness. But let's go back and look at how these things started to really capture the imagination of people. And it had a lot to do with technology and the discovery of electricity and the intersection of, wow, if you know, electricity goes through a dead animal, it like twitches. So that, of course, inflamed the imagination of many of the corpse cutters who would sneak into graveyards at night and do experiments to see exactly what the body was all about. So those anxieties led to a whole subgenre of horrid romances, that is to say, gothic romances, referred to as horrid romances, and different manifestations such as Frankenstein, which would be a creature animated from the dead by technology, or something a little bit related, which would be sort of vampire stuff. But there were also paradigm shifts that had to do with mathematics and being able to model things and to create computers. But let's jump to the 20th century, and we have Rossum's Universal Robots. By the way, the word robot comes from the Russian word rabota, which means to work, and robotit. And what happens when the robots take over? An anxiety very much echoed in other works, just such as Metropolis. And it also responds to a lot of colonial, essentially slave labor, and a lot of issues where people really were not comfortable dealing with the changes after the liberation of slaves. There was a sort of moral high ground, people thinking that they no longer had slaves, but there was this horrible reality that production requires monotonous, enforced work. And, you know, how do you create the slaves? There are also emotional issues going on in terms of replacing a person with a machine. It's an attractive thought, starting with Metropolis and then ending perhaps in Making Mr. Right, or let's think of Spielberg and his issues of artificial intelligence, AI. But there are also social and scientific paradigm shifts, and all these ethical issues that come to mind. We see that in iRobot, robot psychology. So it turns out that robot psychology isn't a perfect logical, philosophical issue, but there are a lot of explorations of how decision-making has to be carried out to its logical extreme. You can't turn back. And Asimov developed 3 laws of robotics. So we see Asimov's characters responding to robots in many different ways. It's possible to be too rational. Also, robots, because of the extreme adherence to almost an algebraic system of language, there is careful attention paid to the ambiguities that are inherent in any language at all and how language makes meaning. And some language is just unmediatable. The idea of a perfect human language would be perhaps computer code. Ick. I know I'm not interested in that. Okay, can machines think? Another issue. Think? Do they have feelings, human emotions? We do see that machines are always given a lust for power. They can become self-aware. They can become thinking. They're smarter than humans, more paranoid because they can think of multiple possibilities and they don't attenuate some of the possibilities by thinking that they're able to manipulate in some way, except some of Asimov's do. Darker sides, robot laws, social control, thinking machines, surveillance society, utopias, dystopias, replicants, all this stuff. And then we see the way that philosophers who talk about psychology of mind, philosophy of mind, talk about this stuff, naturalizing the mind, mental states. Can robots feel? What do they feel first? We say they feel the need to be alive first, but then do they also need to make meaning? And what is meaning? Well, robots certainly try to connect that. Meaning for some robots is connection with real people, affirmation. It's also, meaning is attached to narrative, archetypal narratives, archetypal roles, villainy. And so the robot life is the life for me. Okay, maybe not, but I would love to have a robot just to listen to me rave and affirm me and come up with nice suggestions. The work part would be good too, but I think what I wouldn't like about a robot, I would hate to have a conversation with an entity that's just like so literal. It would just drive me crazy. I like the idea of intractably fluid language that is mediated by context. And I like the idea of being able to recognize patterns so that that knowledge is never stuck in a box, but that new patterns can always be created so that you have new types of opportunities. The future of robots and artificial intelligence, sometimes I think it's all about simulations, and robots will work in sim worlds, but then we never know. There's so many ethical issues. I think there are a lot of ethical issues in terms of video game-based simulations and preparing people for war, even if it's having to do with desensitizing or dehumanizing a bit, or making them think that they're really prepared when they're not. I don't know. I just would like to leave this presentation with a thought that probably the most exciting thing for me in terms of robots is the idea of rehumanizing our work and using robots to achieve a better self for ourselves, a better fluidity, a better ability to make new patterns and create new knowledge, apply old knowledge in new ways. So, that's the end of this. Hope you've enjoyed this. This is Susan Smith Nash, and I will talk to you soon.